We started a new series. This is part three of that series, Raising Your Kids in the Gospel. And we're going slow through this is because we have to deconstruct the way that we have been taught to raise our kids. We are deconstructing the old way of raising our kids and learning a new way, a better way, and that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And up to this point, the first week, we've seen that the parent's role, the perfect word for a parent, a biblical word, is ambassador. You are an ambassador to your children of Jesus Christ. When they see you, they should see Jesus. They should see the grace of Jesus. The two main priorities for a parent is to create a God consciousness and then cause your kids to focus on what God has done, to be thankful for what God has done. Because it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. When they see the goodness of God, it transforms your kid's life. Last week, we looked at how you are not equipped to be a parent. In your own strength, in your own flesh, you do not have the ability. And the problem happens is when parents try to lead out of a false ability rather than clinging and showing their children that they are dependent on the grace of God to be the parents that God has called them to be. It's the same as self-righteousness. You believing that you have an ability apart from God, apart from Jesus, is just as big as an illusion as self-righteousness is. It's not true. We have no ability. And your children need to see that you are a person that has submitted themselves to the grace of God. So today we're going to look at a new part that we have to deconstruct. We're going to have some stories. Dale and Debbie, come up. They're going to share with us some stories that we're going to use to build on through this message.
They were so disheartened. They thought they had done exactly what God called them to do. They had faithfully exercised their authority. They had made the rules clear and the threat of punishment obvious. They had followed through again and again. They didn't compromise, no matter where they were and no matter what the situation was. They told their children again and again that they did what they did as parents because it was what God commanded them to do. They told their children repeatedly that no matter how old they got, they would still have to obey somebody's rules. Now they were wondering if it was all worth it. They were plagued with the question of what had gone wrong. Josh was 16 and as rebellious as they come. He seemed in love with the world and everything in it. Rules to him weren't things to be obeyed. They were challenges to be accepted. He fought every regulation with mocking disrespect. He acted as if he hated his mom and dad, saying things to them that were intended to hurt. He told them 1,000 times that he couldn't wait to get out of their house and be on his own. Then he'd make his own choices, and there was nothing they could do about it. He really did seem to be a person who loved evil and hated what was good. Sitting on her nightly perch outside Josh's bedroom door, as she did every night to keep him from sneaking out, she recounted the years. She thought about that sweet little boy that everyone liked, contrasted with the angry young man behind the door. She felt disappointed, humiliated, and powerless. She was tired and secretly couldn't wait for him to leave for good.
Jessica was the typical busy little three-year-old. Life was her playground, and she seemed to get up every morning to enjoy every part of it. Sally was increasingly tired of chasing her around the house as she proceeded to get into everything. She felt that Jessica didn't listen to her. A couple of months ago, she'd tried counting. Jessica, get out of that drawer. One, two, three. You know the drill. The threat was that at three, Mom would swoop in, and you didn't want to know what would happen next. But Jessica had survived many threes, and nothing terrible had happened. Sally was now at five and getting almost no response from Jessica. Threat was no longer a threat. In fact, counting had sadly become an invitation for Jessica to do whatever wrong she was doing for a little bit longer. She knew she could push her mommy just a little bit further, and Sally was tired of counting, and with each larger number, she felt herself getting angrier and more discouraged. Counting didn't work, and she couldn't figure out what else to do.
Frank and Mary were so worried about Emma. It wasn't that she was hard to live with. On the contrary, she was always friendly and polite. In many ways, Emma was the dream teenager. She did well in high school, and as a junior, was already getting scholarship offers from prestigious universities. She participated in her youth ministry without resistance and volunteered with Habitat for Humanity. From a distance, it all looked good, but Frank and Mary knew it was not good. Emma spent more and more time on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. She was obsessed with the lives of the current pop stars and young actors. Every day she read every trashy gossip website there was. She was also obsessed with fashion, with how she looked and how people responded to how she looked. Emma couldn't bear not having a boyfriend and had begun to dress more provocatively. The faith, which she never rejected outright, seemed less and less important to her. She worshiped every day at the feet of all the current idols of the surrounding culture, but she didn't know it was worship. Frank and Mary felt they were losing her, but didn't know how to handle it. Emma was not rebellious. She was responsible with her schoolwork and basically obeyed the rules at home. Whenever Frank and Mary expressed their concern to Emma, she would tell them that they were just old-fashioned and needed to relax. Everything was okay. But Emma was being captured. Her parents saw it. But no rule they laid down seemed to rescue her.
Rob was a quiet kid. He spent a lot of time alone, and he didn't seem to mind it. He loved to skateboard, but didn't have much time for or interest in organized sports. He was not hard to parent, except that he played it very close to the chest. It was always hard to get Rob to open up and talk about anything personal, so his mom and dad felt that the older he got, the less they knew him. His senior year, he became very close to a friend at his high school. They began to spend hour upon hour together, both inside and outside the home. It was not at all unusual for Rob and his friend to spend a weekend at one another's house. For several weeks, Rob's mom had wondered if something was wrong with Rob. He just didn't seem like himself, but when she would inquire, Rob would say it was nothing, that he was cool. Finally, one night, when his dad was away on a business trip, his mom cornered him, putting on the pressure for him to tell her what was wrong. He resisted for a while, but she would not give up, and with more emotion than he had displayed in a long time, Rob said, "I'm in love." His mom said, "Well, you don't have to be embarrassed or fearful about that." But Rob said, "I'm in love with Nate, his friend from school." Holding on to her emotions, his mom said, "What do you mean when you say you're in love with Nate?" Rob said, "Mom, I'm gay, and I knew if I told you that you and Dad would hate me, but it's true. I'm gay, and there's nothing or no one that can do anything about it." With that, he stormed out of the room. Although Rob's mom and dad had expressed their love for him no matter what, it wasn't long before they had constructed and announced a whole new set of regulations for Rob. He had to surrender his car keys. He was no longer allowed to see Nate. He had to put on a content limiter on his computer. He had to leave his bedroom door open when he was at home, and he had a new, earlier curfew. Rob grew more and more sullen and angry, and he and Nate continued to find ways to be with one another.
Unfortunately, that's the hard truth of parenting. Those are very common in the lives of parents. And today we're going to talk about the law. I thought this was a grace church. Your children need God's law, but you cannot ask the law to do what only grace can accomplish. See, in each of these stories, there was a subtle but foundational mistake. One theme that runs through each of these stories, an error that all these loving parents made. It's what each of these parents put their confidence in to create the change that they desired in their child. There was something over and over again in these stories, and I guarantee you that for most parents, it's the same with you. There is something that they reach for, a tool that they use to create a change in their children's hearts. Every parent knows that their child has to grow, they have to mature, and they have to change, and it's a parent's job to create character, obedience, respect, honesty, servanthood, and generosity, and so much more. As a parent, you will rely on something to create that change. You rely on something to create that change in your children, and you will use that tool over and over again. You will place your confidence in this tool. But if you are not using the right tool, no matter how much confidence you have in the tool, it's not going to get the job done. And even worse, more drastic, and you builders, you mechanics know this, so often when you use the wrong tool, it can cause more damage than good. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Every Christian has to come to grips with this truth. And it needs to apply more than just to Sunday morning. This truth needs to radiate through every aspect of our life, in our marriages, in the way that we raise and train up our children in the way that they should go. Look at how God's Word translation puts it. I don't reject God's kindness. If we receive God's approval by obeying the laws in the Scriptures, then Christ's death was pointless. Do you understand that? That if we become right with God based off us doing good and keeping the laws, then Christ died in vain. There was no reason for Jesus to come. And this is something we have to renew our minds to. Because we go back to that tool of the law over and over again and try to use it in our daily lives, and it can't create the change that we'd so desperately want in our families, in our communities, in ourselves. Grace and law. Your children need God's law. Check out what the Holy Spirit writes in Romans. In Romans chapter 7, verse 7, what shall we say then? Is this law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law has said, you shall not covet. Our children need God's law. Why? Because just like all of us, they're born in this world as fools. Not knowing what is true and what is false, what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. And when there is no guidelines, we just make up our own truth. We make up our own guidelines. We make up our own boundaries. We make up our own what is good and what is bad. What is good and what is evil. And when your good collides with someone else's evil, wars happen. But by God's grace, God provides these foundational truths in the law. And that's exactly what the law is designed to do, is to bring a consciousness of sin. But it doesn't leave, we're not supposed to be left there. Like all humans, human beings, children are not made to be self-governing. That is, to be guided by independent thoughts and desires. Children need to be given tracks to run on and boundaries to stay inside of. Law is not sin. We just read that. The law is not sin. The law is good. But we're not good. Right? And the law has no power in it to make you good. So if the law doesn't have no power in it to make you good, why do we try to use the law to make people good? So God, in his wonderful mercy, gives us the law so that our behavior would be guided by a clear knowledge of what is right and wrong. This leads us to another way that God's law is good for your children. It provides them with the grace of conviction. The grace of conviction. When we know what is right and we have no power to do what is right, we are convicted of falling short of the glory of God. Like all of us, our children would have no idea that they were sinners in need of protection, wisdom, forgiveness, and rescue without the standard of God's law. But also, your children and we as Christians have to understand the law's weakness. The law's weakness. Your children need to understand that the law is weak. Your children need to, the law of God in their lives, but it's very dangerous as parents to ask the law to do what only grace can do. If you're using the law as a tool to create change, to create character, to create Christ-likeness, you will fail. I believe that 99% of Christian parents do that day in and day out without realizing it. They reach for law to do what only grace can do. Look at Romans 8. In Romans 8, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. The law was weak. The law could not produce in the lives of humanity what God desired it to do. And the law cannot produce the desired results that you want in your children. Because we don't understand the weakness of the law, we have reduced Christian parenting down to being a really faithful lawgiver, arresting officer, prosecutor, judge, and jailer. Parenting is basically a body of rules followed by the threat of punishment. Some old OT parenting. Children need rules, yes. Children need faithful correction, yes. But that simply is not enough. If all your children needed was the knowledge and enforcement of rules, then the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was unnecessary. Right? So why do we think that if we do the same thing the same way and expect a different result, that we're in, that's insanity. The greatest danger to your children is not the evil outside them. See, this is what so many parents are worried about. They're worried about the evil world and what's outside of them and protecting them from the outside world. But the biggest danger to your children is not the outside world. It's not the evil outside of them. It's the evil within them. If you can take care of the evil within them, which you can't, only God can do. If you can lead them to a place of trusting and relying on God's grace, to a place of loving God out of relationship rather than rules and regulations and fear of punishment, you don't have to worry when the evil outside comes knocking on the door because they know who they are already. They have found their identity. It's the sin inside them that is the greatest of all threats to their well-being. Every parent and every child needs to understand that fact. The law does a very good job at exposing your child's sin, but it has no power whatsoever to deliver them from it. The law has no power whatsoever to deliver your children from sin. The law has no ability to rescue your children from the power of sin's grip. The law has no ability to give your children a new heart. The law has no ability to create lasting change in your children that parents so long for. The law cannot and will not rescue them. It will not redeem them. It will not restore your child. But that's exactly what every parent wants. And that's what every child needs. God's grace is essential. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. We love to sing about God's grace. We love hearing about God's grace in church. We love to sing about it on Sunday. But I think we'd be shocked at how many Christian parents completely forget that grace as a parent, through the rest of their week. Remember, it's sin that messes everything up. It's not your child. Your child is not the enemy. Sin. It's sin that makes your children resist your guidance and authority. It's sin that causes your children to constantly be in conflict with their siblings. It's sin that gets in the way of their children's learning in school. It's sin that causes children to be attracted to what is hurtful and destructive. Sin causes your children to feel entitled, demanding, materialistic, and unthankful. It causes them to act as if they are the center of the universe, and the whole existence is to revolve around them. This is why they say hurtful things to their parents. This is why they say hurtful things to their siblings. This is why they say hurtful things to their peers. This is why they do things that are destructive. This is what makes parenting difficult, demanding, and exhausting. And the law has no ability to deliver your children from this mess, the mess that we have to deal with as parents. You need to preach the gospel to your children. And I'm not talking about Sunday morning style. I'm not saying get a pulpit in the middle of your living room and preach the gospel unto them. You should look every day for every opportunity to point your kids to the presence of God, the promises of God, and the power of grace of Jesus Christ. That's what ambassadorial parenting looks like. It's when you as a parent realize that you don't have a prayer without the rescuing, enabling grace of God that you become increasingly excited about that rescuing for yourself. In turn, your personal thankfulness causes you to be enthusiastic about your children reaching out for that same kind of help. This is why we don't parent by the gospel. This is why we don't parent by grace. It's because we have not renewed our minds that we are saved by grace, not by works. When you understand that you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, that he has sanctified you, that he has made you holy, that you are complete in him, not missing anything, that you have the fruit of the Spirit inside of you, that you were dead and now you're alive, that you're a kingdom of the king. You're a child of the king. When you come to realize that, something rises up within you, and it's thankfulness. It's joy unspeakable, full of glory. You get so excited about God's grace that you want to share it. And you want to share it with your kids. These are the promises of God. This is what Jesus Christ has done for you. This is what God says he wants to do in your life. He has dreams. He has a plan. He has a mission. He has things for you that you can't even dream of. Because God loves us and he's our prosperer. He gives us all good things. We don't have to be selfish. We can be generous. Because God fights our battles for us, because God is for us, and if God is for us, who can be against us? We don't have to argue and fight and struggle to get our own way. Jesus became a servant, and the greatest in God's kingdom is a servant. So we can serve others, expecting in our servanthood, God, Jesus is right there serving us and taking care of our needs. The reason why we don't parent through grace, the reason why we don't parent through the gospel is because we don't believe it ourselves. But when you do, and you get excited about it, you'll realize that the law doesn't work. The law doesn't create transformation. The law it's doing more damage to your kids than good. And you'll start calling them to embrace the sweet rhythms of God's grace. To walk with Jesus. To live with Jesus. To learn his ways. See, we can preach the gospel in every conversation. Every conversation is an opportunity. Pointing them to the beauty of nature is an opportunity. Every moment of correction and discipline is an opportunity. Every sibling battle is an opportunity. Every success or failure at school is an opportunity. Family worship is an opportunity. Birthdays, holidays provide opportunities. Bedtime conversations provide opportunities. Discussions after watching something on Netflix provides an opportunity. There are so many opportunities. There's so many chances. There's so many opportunities to talk to your kids about God's goodness and God's grace. But the question is, will you remember? Is God's grace and his ability in your working in your life to the point where it's always on the forefront of your mind? There is no want for opportunities to talk to our children about the inescapable need for God's grace. There will be no lack of opportunity for telling the story of how Jesus meets all of our needs. Every beautiful thing, every hard thing, every sad thing, and everything to celebrate gives us an opportunity to point to God, who in grace rules all things. The question is, will you see those opportunities in the moment of parenting and capture them again and again? What do you want from your children? Ask yourself that. What do you long for from your children? What is your desire for your children? Is it for them to obey? To control their behavior until they're free from your care? To do what they're told to do so they don't embarrass you in public. What do you long from your children? I think we all long much, much more from our children than that. Do you want your kids to know that every day that God designed that day for them to live, whose hearts are ruled by worship of Him, and who gladly stay inside His boundaries? See, there's so many people, we talked about this earlier, and this is a rabbit trail, but oh well. Came to my remembrance, I'm going to say it. We talked earlier about that movie, The Shack, and how people were upset that they didn't talk about people going to hell. The reason why we love our hell so much is because if I'm going to live like this, we think, if I'm going to go to church, if I'm going to serve, if I'm going to give my money, if I'm going to do all these things, if I'm not going to go out drinking, carousing, partying, sleeping with other women, if I'm going to live like this, those that do it better go to hell. And you miss the gospel that God's way is the best way to live. It's a place of protection, that sin itself is punishment. God doesn't have to punish the sinner. Sin itself brings punishment. The wages of sin is death. And God is trying to protect humanity. He loves humanity. That true fulfillment and true joy is found in Him. See, so many Christians, the only reason they're living the way that they're living is because they're under the law. And they're afraid that if you preach grace, that they don't know what they would do. They just go out and sin. No. Grace is not about sinning. It's about freedom from sin. And this is what we have to understand with our parenting. We want children whose hearts are ruled by worship for God and understand His boundaries, that it's love that's rescuing them. And this is exactly what we're going to learn about as we go through the rest of this series. Like I said, I'm not going to rush through this, because this is a lot to take in if you're listening. This is a total different way of training and raising up your children. Me, myself, you know me, I'm pretty open. I know that there's many times as a parent when I failed to be a visible ambassador of the presence, character, and plan of Jesus in the lives of my children. So often I presented God as irritable, impatient, judgmental, loud, and accusatory. There were contradictions between the message of grace that I talked to my kids about and the lack of grace that shaped my response to them. I need to stop using the tool of the law to do what only the tool of grace can do. I need to learn to raise my kids in the gospel. How about you? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that grace is a teacher. Grace is a teacher. Grace teaches us to live in righteousness. Grace teaches us to live in godliness. It teaches us your ways. Father, you said that you would lead, the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. And we ask that you would lead us into the truth of being an ambassador of Jesus Christ in our family, being an ambassador of Jesus Christ to our children, that they would see the grace of God, that they would see the love of God, and that the goodness of God would lead them to repentance, that they would acknowledge their need for you, that they would learn to trust in you in all circumstances. And once again, Lord, we rest in your ability. We give up the the right to bring transformation in our children, knowing that we are unable to bring that transformation, and that transformation only comes from you. So today we give up our ability and trust in your ability. Today we choose to show our kids that we are dependent on the grace of God, that we are dependent on God, and to look for those moments, to look for those moments to preach the gospel to our children. We love you, Lord. We look forward to what you're going to continue doing in our minds as it's renewed to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.